You're tuned into the Kazoo Podcast, Cincy Boys Edition. We've got a great festival lined up for you this year that's about to kick off. And we're going to kick off this podcast with West Nile, Lucifer Baby. Then we're going to hear from Eloquent and MA. And we've got a Chad Van Galen interview lined up for you, so stay tuned for that.
know is, what I really wanna know is, what I really wanna know is, what I really wanna know. Doesn't matter if I got big or small, what it is, I got big,
what I really wanna know.
Doesn't matter if I got big or some new ideas. I got big trying to figure out who I is. But I gotta live like Tupac's pigs. I got big trying to figure out who I is. Who am I? Like Jackie Chan's movie. Morbid and dark, not a tacky tan, truly. Most original, so the bastards can't do me. Rehab clinic, alas, you can't do E. We smashing it and blast your camp floozies. Lackadaisical with the raps, a tad gloomy. Three-dimensional when I clash, you cats 2D. Childish, so when I attack, you catch cooties. I stand out like a pink handout. Remain hesitant, but I never planned out. Make you reconsider your plans, don't keep your brand out. Been suppressing the motive, I never act out. I'm a chill dude, crass individual. Serious, but never keep the laughs to a minimum. The only time I don't smile is when I take a picture. Take a deeper look at my file, I'm a fatal twister. I hurt people. But in reverse, when I'm rehearsing a verse, I curse evil like major contradiction. So maybe I'm a hypocrite, swinging back and forth. Or maybe at the tip of it, the cliff exists. I only have one chance, like I'm dipping chips. But I'm sick of it, I'm inhaling a different mist. But my lungs and my tongue rejects it when I sung respective. And society is telling me to go to school, learn something. But they don't understand that I just wanna burn something. For every person working, but they earn nothing. Dispersed exertion, cause they yearn substance. But it's never found, maybe that'll change. I'll only know if I refuse to keep the batter caged. So I'ma try to build a ladder for the latter days, so I can illustrate the manner of the anime. Doesn't matter if I got big with some new ideas. I got big trying to figure out who I is. But I gotta live like Tupac Biggs. I got big trying to figure out who I is.
Now we're going to get to our Chad Van Galen interview. Before we get to that, here is one of his awesome tracks.
And this is a song from his recent album, Shrink Dust, on Sub Pop Records. It's called Where Are You?
Out of the evening.
Hello.
Hey.
All right, we've got Chad Van Galen joining us on the show today. Thank you for coming on to the Kazoo podcast series.
No sweat.
And thanks for playing the festival.
Yeah.
I'm
super excited.
We just heard Shrink Dust, Where Are You? And that was, the video for that song was a compilation of other videos that you did?
Yeah, I guess it was the actual video for the song. It was just, I had a lot of kind of odds and sods kicking around, and I didn't want to have to make like a 5-minute long video for a song that I just thought was okay. So I just kind of, I was like, oh, I'll just string together a bunch of stuff that hasn't been used for anything, so.
Right, yeah, I guess it would be to set out to just do the video for that song would be pretty time consuming.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't get paid for my own videos either, so it's like it's hard to justify it sometimes because it takes so long.
Yeah, I was going to ask some questions about how long the average video takes for you to do, like, say, a 2.5-minute video or something like that.
I wish I'd get the 2.5-minute long videos, but most songs are around 4 minutes, and that I can get a 4-minute long song done in about 6 weeks now, but that's kind of if I have nothing else to do. Depending on how much childcare I have at the time and how willing the grandparents are to sort of babysit is really how I organize my life. Sadly. Or not so sadly, like just matter of fact, you know.
So you've gotten hired now to do a few videos for other bands now.
Yeah.
And that I guess that just started to happen after you did enough videos on your own for your own songs and people started to notice how good they were. I assume that's sort of what that came out of, or?
Yeah, I mean, I did this sort of Clinically Dead video about 10 years ago, and or 11 years ago now, and then just directly after that, I started getting video work, and then slowly I've just been accepting more and more video work just because I don't like to be away from home for that long.
It's a better option.
Awesome, and I also just love it. I love drawing, so it just gives me an excuse to hang out.
So you'd prefer to be making videos than being on tour playing shows?
Yeah, I mean, it depends. It depends on the shows. But yeah, I mean, I the longest that I can really, or the longest that I want to go out on the road for is about 2 weeks, and it's just sort of, it's not very economical. And I just feel, you know, like, I don't know, the more the world starts falling apart, the weirder I feel about, burning up fossil fuels around the planet. It kind of seems extravagant.
Yeah, well, that was, I guess that was Tom York's reason for Radiohead not touring anymore.
Oh, yeah. Oh, crazy. Yeah, I mean, it's horribly excessive, that's for sure. And if you're arriving at the shows, if you're playing in Europe or something like that, where you have to fly and then catch a bus somewhere or do something, you're arriving tired and then you're getting, you know, slowly turning into an alcoholic and a weirdo. It seems.
And the traditional big the traditional big world tours that some of the big bands over the years have taken, just so many like endless flights and flights and flights.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of my friends are in bands and they're just I just saw my friend Monty the other day, and I hadn't seen him for 6 months because he's been on tour for 6 months. It's just crazy. It's like, wow, been on tour for 6 months. That's insane.
Well, you're lucky that you have an alternative way to put your time in.
Yeah, exactly. And I kind of thank my lucky stars that that people took it seriously. Like, Holy Fuck was one of the first bands that I did a video for too, and it just I was just lucky enough to have enough people and bands that were friends of mine that were like, oh, why don't we just get Van Galen to do it instead of, you know.
So you don't get any money when you do videos for your own songs, though?
I have in the past, and I haven't in the past. It depends on if I write a grant for the video. Then, you know, AFA or Canada Council or something like that. Then I'll get a little bit of funding. Sub Pop might throw me a little bit of funding too, but it doesn't really make sense a lot of the time because that's coming out of my how much money however much the label is spending on the video. So it's kind of redundant to be like, call myself on the phone. Hey, Chad, you want to do video for yourself? No, not really. Oh, why not? I'm so sick of listening to that song. I just recorded that song. Oh, yeah.
So what is your background in animation? Did you go to art school?
I did. Sadly, I went through the printmaking department because my grades were not high enough to get into drawing. But I so wanted to be in drawing. But no, I got introduced to animation through a local animation society called Quick Draw here in Calgary, and they just kind of they saw that I was really excited about it. So the people that were running it at the time, Kevin and Carol, just gave me the keys to the place. They were like, "Yeah, if you want to do whatever you want to do, to go ahead." And I would just stay there all night long. This is when I was in my early 20s. So, yeah, I just kind of stay there all night until the morning working on animation. And then everything just kind of expanded in the world of, like, software. And then suddenly you could, whereas, you know, back in the day you'd have to, I was working on, like, 16-millimeter film with a nice big camera stand, and now all you have to have is a digital camera and a decent laptop. So
you basically are self-taught then with the animation stuff?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, that was a bit of a shit show, actually, just getting through the software kind of slog. And I'd rather be working on paper, but unfortunately it's not portable, and it's really slow.
Yeah, that's when you go back to the old teams of animators where there's tons of people drawing the same.
Yeah,
the same.
It still is that. It's just people in Korea exclusively. Literally.
Yeah, I guess a lot of animation gets contracted out.
Oh, yeah, for sure. When I talk to other animators, they're just like, "Seriously, man? Like, you're still fucking drawing all of those frames? Like, Jesus, an idiot. Send it to Pyongyang like everybody else."
So who are some of your biggest animation influences, people that you look up to in the world of animation?
Like people like Rene LaLue, like Fantastic Planet guy. He also did one called Light Years. Like Mobius, like Jean Girard, and I grew up reading a lot of tons of comics. So I get a lot of influence, a lot of my influences from that, like Jack Kirby. And people like modern people like Koyama Press and Drawn and Quarterly and all those sort of relatively new publishing companies that are putting out people like Michael DeForge and Jesse Jacobs. And
I remember, I couldn't find it when I was getting ready for this interview, but I remember reading a list of animators that you really liked, and there was a woman from the past. I feel like her animation was maybe
Sally Cruikshank.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yep.
Yeah, her videos. I started watching them after I read this thing that you've been talking about, the animators that you like. That was a cool one that I didn't know.
Yeah, her stuff was pretty, her old stuff is pretty weird. Her new stuff kind of got like, I don't know, but her old stuff is just like super fucking, makes me feel really weird.
Yeah, it's pretty unique, like nothing else like it, especially from, if you think of the context of the time it was coming out.
Yeah, and I think she was doing all the voices herself as well. As I remember, don't quote me on that, but I think she was. So I think that also having a singular sort of entity present itself like that is always really, there is always going to be a really weird edge like that. I think Bickford, like Bruce Bickford, is the same sort of situation where you just get this super isolated, like, idea that's really, like, completely out of context with everything else that's going on at the time. And I think probably Zappa saw that and realized that, like, holy shit, this guy is actually never going to come out of his basement and release any of this stuff if, you know.
If somebody doesn't.
Yeah, like, they still think they're, like, 15 years old. It's like, no, dude, you're, like, 70, man. And, like, you're still working on that same thing, man. Like, just fucking put it out.
I was wondering about if you've ever, I assume most of the animations come from, for music videos, after you've written the song, but have you ever had an animated part that has ever gone the other way around, where you had an animated part and you're like, I got to put that into a song and use that somehow?
Not really with the song. Like this animated short that I finished last year kind of worked like back and forth like that a lot of the time. So like I'd end up animating a scene with no sound and it would sort of inspire the sound, or else I'd come up with a piece of music and then it would work the other direction too. So there's a lot of kind of back and forth in that way, but not just with a song.
Speaking of your new animated short, congratulations on winning Best Animated Short at the Giraffe Festival.
Yeah, thanks. I was super nervous about it. So,
and we're going to be able to work it into the festival here. We're really excited that you want to show it at Kazoo Fest. I don't know if it'll be able to happen when you're actually here, but we definitely want to get it showed.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I when you guys sent me the email, I was like, oh shit! Now that I'm done it, it's like I've completely forgotten about it. And a few of my friends are just like, have you shown that? And I'm like, yeah, dude, I showed it in Calgary. They're like, well, are you gonna keep showing it? And I'm just like, I don't think so. Well, so it's always good to get reminded.
Well, Kazoo Fest has other film screenings and a big print art expo and stuff. So
I checked out the website and I just assumed that it was a music fest. But yeah, you guys got some good multimedia stuff going on.
Yeah, so we're really excited to be able to include that into the festival. It's like a bonus.
Sweet. Well, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. So I know everybody's really excited that you're coming down for this show. So are you going to have? I know you have some people fill in for you. Members from Women sometimes play with you on the road.
Not anymore, because those guys are now in Viet Cong. And or formerly known as Viet Cong, but so it's Chris Dadge from Lab Coast and Ryan Bourne from Ghost Keeper Sleep Kit. Oh. They're all in like a million bands, but
yeah, I think I know the guy you're talking about because I saw him play with Ghost Keeper in Guelph.
Oh yeah, right. Okay,
about 4 years ago or something.
Yeah.
So. Bit of a random story from the past. Bri Webb mentioned to me that he filled in on bass for you one time for a short tour back in the early 2000s, I think.
Yep.
I was just curious how that came about.
Yeah, it's a funny story that I love telling, that's for sure, because it was one of my first tours that I'd ever gone on, and the Cons were nice enough to have me on their tour for a few dates. We were going up to Sasquatch and back with them, so yeah. And I get Bri had been listening to the record, and which was in Finnehart, and he's like, yeah, I really love the record. But yeah, after seeing us live, it was just me and my friend Eric as a duo. And he's like, yeah, you guys are kind of sucking live. Like, what? Like, this is all, this is it. And I hadn't performed much at all at that point. I'd just sort of been a producer, like a bedroom producer. And that was, that's still what I love to do, realistically. But yeah, I hadn't really thought of how I would present it live at all, and then we just kind of went on the road, and I was like, well, okay. And Bri was like, is it okay if I play some of these bass lines? Because some of these songs are like totally missing parts. So he was sweet enough to do that, and we went out on tour with him and the Providers across the states just for a quick little tour, and I did try and pick up the bass at one point to try and get him back as a favor, and I'm just such a shitty bass player, man. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It was crazy. Like, all my bass lines are just like do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, like two or three notes, but he's like, okay, and then it's like an F sharp, and then it goes to like the C, and then it goes to like C minor, and then it goes back, and then it's like, and I was like, oh my God, I cannot manage. I felt so bad because I was just slowly backing off the stage. It's like, Bri, I can't do this, man. I can't do it. It's too hard. But he understood. I think he appreciated the gesture.
Yeah, it was nice to try to return the favor.
Yeah.
It seemed fitting, I guess. So what do you like more, the animation or the music? And we've kind of already talked about that a bit, but
Right. I mean, I like them both the same in the studio. I feel with visual art, the reason why I like it so much is I'm a pretty private person. And I feel a lot of creative energy comes out of me when I have time to kind of think privately. So the visual art is nice because I don't have to like perform it every night. Whereas when I put out a record of songs, you gotta perform it every night, and that's really stressful for me because I'm not like a trained musician, and I haven't ever really felt that comfortable on guitar or really any instrument besides like singing maybe, but yeah, so there's that sort of pressure of having to tour it afterwards, but as far as just like if you took that out of the mix, I'd say they're both the same. Like I kind of treat them in the same way. I really love multi-track. As soon as I got a multi-track as a kid, I was just like, oh my God, like this is, now it's the same thing. Now it's like having like a box of crayons. Whereas a lot of people would consider just an acoustic guitar like that. Whereas, you know, I can't quite summon that, you know?
Well, yeah, I guess that's kind of more, some people might say it's more outdated, the just having the acoustic guitar or whatever.
Oh, but it's not though, man. It's never outdated. Never outdated, because shit goes down and everybody's like eating like human flesh. And you're still gonna gather around the fire and want that dude to play some sick shit, you know.
I remember
that girl, you know.
Like, Iggy Pop said in an interview that he was trying to go back to acoustic guitar for that reason.
Yeah, it's always gonna be people with those natural sort of skills are always gonna be. It's always gonna be the future, no matter what. Multi-tracks are lame. Computers are lame.
Well, I guess it's a matter of opinion. So we're pretty much out of time on the interview here.
Okay.
But I want to thank you very much for joining us on the podcast.
Yeah, man.
And we're really excited to have you come to the festival and to show your animated short. What's the animated short called?
Tar Boss.
All right. Further details to follow on when that's going to play at the festival.
Okay, cool.
And yeah, enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
See ya.
And now for one of my personal favorite all-time best ever Chad Van Galen tracks, this is Inside the Molecules. I can't remember where. All right, we got a couple tracks left for you here on the Kazoo Podcast Sensi Boys edition. We've got Mad Adam and Howlin' Monk with a quick word here from a Mad Adam supporter from the local community, No 23, the Guelph Oracle.
Hey, I just want to remind everybody to check out Mad Adam's set at Kazoo this year. He might be blind as a bat, but he's badass and beautiful.
This is a Mad Adam remix of Sisyphean Rock. And Howlin' Monk are going to be covering Dim Light with a song called Then Them. Thanks for listening.
On my right, problems in the day, day, and problems in the night. Got problems with my foot, and problems with my hand. Problems when I sit, and problems when I stand. I got problems with the car when I'm trying to climb a hill. Problems with my nerves when I'm trying to keep it still. I got problems with the words, and problems with the tune. Big problems with the sun, and bigger problems with the moon.
Problems with what?
With hair to the street and some which is girl. P-O-R-B-L-E-M. Everyone you know is having them. They keep it to themselves or they say it aloud. These are some problems I'm talking about.
How many of you motherfuckers hate your job? You sweat all day, but that shit don't stop. By a show of hands, how many of y'all hate your life? Do you stare at the blade but are afraid of the knife?
Just look over your shoulder, I'm there lifting boulders.
I push the rock up a hill, now the shit rolls back down.
What?
I put my money in the bank, bro. I put the bank burnt down.
So now I only wanna get down with the lady who's down with me right now. From the cam and watch TV right now. I just wanna pick dandelions and stroke the kitty on its head right now. I wanna dock my little dinghy in the harbor and live like I'm dead right now. I only wanna build a shack from some wood that I found. Yeah, now I just wanna have a party when there's no one around. Right now, I wanna play the drums to my heart's desire.